what a blessing, what a blessing. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. And if you just take some time today and meditate on the thought of what Jesus has done, you can't help but to want to just shout and sing praises unto Him for His great love wherewith He loved us. Well, turn your Bibles to John's Gospel, chapter number 13. And we're going to look at verse number 7 and 8. We're looking at a familiar fella this morning that most of us can say we are probably like him, because he opened his mouth when he should not have. He spouted out things that he later regretted that he said. But he did have a love for God. Oh, Peter, bless his sweet heart. I believe he was a Carlisle from the get-go. Hey, I believe he might have been whatever your last name is. We are all. I stopped last night in Clayton. They have the hottest coffee at that racetrack or whatever, that convenience place where you buy gas, the yellow front. Hot coffee. I took a big swig and it burned all the way down. So if I have trouble this morning, that's the reason. Russell thought I was drunk Friday night. I failed getting into his blind to hunt hogs, and I failed coming out. He said, "What do you got to say?" I said, "I'm glad I wasn't up a tree when I fell. Mercy, that hurt. If I'm going to fall, I won't be on the ground." Hallelujah. Well, now that I've got your mind off the message, look back to John chapter 13. Verse number 7 and 8. The Bible said, "Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the good day. Thank you for your blessings. Lord, I pray today, God, that you'd use your word to speak to our hearts and strengthen us. God, it is my prayer, as always, God, if there's one here lost and without Jesus from the free pardon of sin, they're not saved. Oh, God, I do pray that the Holy Ghost of God would do a work in that heart this morning. And God, that they would come forth there in the invitation time and let us show them in the Bible how they can be saved and born again. God, I pray that you'd be honored and glorified in all that is said and done. And God, we'll be careful to praise you and thank you for it, for we pray and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Simon Peter, or Peter, he just had a quick temper. He said what he, sometimes he spoke before he thought. And here our Lord is teaching them the benefits of humility and trying to show them by example he was washing the disciples' feet. And Peter said, "Not me, Lord. You're not going to wash my feet." And Jesus said, "If you don't let me, you have no part with me." And then, of course, verse 9 we didn't read. Simon Peter just, he went past what Jesus was saying. "Hey, wash me all over." Well, in that day, the custom, they didn't have socks and shoes. They had shoes, sandals, mostly what they wore. But they didn't jump in an automobile like I did this past weekend and drive all over creation and back. They pretty well walked everywhere they went. They didn't have paved roads. And so when they got to where they were going, custom was generally they'd wash their feet. And Jesus was teaching the disciples this matter of humility. But he allowed his pride to get in his way. And he said, "You're not washing my feet." And boy, I believe the sad truth of the matter is there's a lot of us, we are just like him. We'll let pride get in our way. We began to boast ourselves, and we began to say what we will do and what we won't do. Well, we better back up and rephrase that and say it like James said. And so he said, if the Lord's will, we'll do this or we'll do that. We need to make sure of what we're going to do and that it's within the will of God for what we're doing. But when somebody gets like that, They jump ahead of God and they really begin to just say to God, "Well, listen, I know you said it, but I don't believe what you said." And by the way, do you know any time we do something that's against the will of God, we're telling God, "We know you said no, but I'm going to do it anyway." How many of us are found guilty of that? "Now, Lord, I know your word said, but I'm going to do this anyhow." Well, what's the problem? It's not the Lord. Did he not speak loud enough? Sure he did. Did he not speak clearly enough? Sure he did. It's because we're not listening like we should. And often we will read the scripture. Often we will hear a message. Often we'll hear a little Sunday school lesson. We hear, but we don't hear. And so Peter, as always, he had gotten the cart before the horse, and the Lord is trying to explain to him what he's wanting to do. He lets Peter know that if you're saved, you don't have to be washed all over again. In John chapter 15 and verse number 3, Jesus said, "Now you're clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." Now, we're saved by hearing the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so when we hear a gospel message, we know that this is God's plan. This is God's way for us to get saved and born again. And yet many people, and Brother Shane brought this out in Sunday school this morning, many people are trying to get to heaven their own way. There's only one way to heaven, and that's through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll quote it again as I have many times over, but Jesus said, "I am the way." There's only one way that a man or woman, boy or girl, will ever make it to heaven. And that's through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Going to church won't get you there. Tithing won't get you there. Being a good person won't get you there. It's all through Christ and His sacrificial death on the cross, His atonement for our sins, and His resurrection nailed it. It sealed it. And now, my dear friend, we can know that we're saved. But old Peter said, "Lord, you're not washing my feet." He's missing the point. And how many times has God ever said to us, "Hey, you're missing the point now. You're missing what I'm trying to say." How many times have we said that to our kids or had our parents say that to us? "Now, you're missing what I'm trying to say to you." Now, God is speaking to Peter, and he's trying to let him know that what he's wanting to do is teach them the doctrine of humility. There was never a more humble person on planet Earth than the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible declares that he humbled himself and became obedient even unto death. Here's the very God of creation. Hey, listen, Jesus didn't start. Jesus didn't become Jesus when he was born. Jesus was Jesus before this world was ever made. God said to him in the book of Genesis, "Let us make man in our image." Do you think God was talking to himself? No. He was talking to his son. But Jesus, the very God of heaven, the creator of all life, he humbled himself. and came down. He who was sinless, he who knew no sin, became sin for us that we could be saved. See, there's nothing you and I could... We can pray and ask God to forgive us of our sin. We should do that. But do you know what? I couldn't do enough, could not have done enough in my lifetime to have made it possible for me to go to heaven short of going through Jesus Christ. It's through Him. And so God's trying to show Peter the lesson. His pride got in the way. He couldn't connect with the idea of what the Lord was trying to do with him. And so he just really messed things up. Look with me in the book of the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 22. We find that old Peter here began to say, well, let me back up verse 21. The Bible said, but behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on the table. And truly the Son of Man goeth as it was determined, but woe unto that man by whom he is betrayed. And they began to inquire among themselves which of them it was that should do this thing. And there was also a strife among them which of them should be accounted the greatest. Now, Peter, he said, boy, listen, I don't know about that guy that's going to betray you, but I won't know who's going to be the greatest. Isn't that sad? You know, there are people today in our life that if they are not in the spotlight, if they don't get the recognition, boy, they'll pooch their lip out and just really pitch a fit. Who are you and who am I that we should try to go to God and say, who's the greatest in your service? I see people do that in the athletic world. I'm the best. My cousin, Donna Schofield, bless her sweetheart, she cooked a big old tub of chicken and dumpling. They look good. They stir good. But when you got that spoon and started to dip, you could smell a little bit of a scorching. She said, Tommy, I'm embarrassed. I burn them. She said, normally I cook the best chicken and duck. And I just couldn't help myself. I said, pride, pride, pride. She said, what? I said, you thought you could cook the best and God just had to bring you down a notch and show you that you've messed up too. But I ate them anyhow. Like my dear old friend, my late brother in Christ in Alabama, Morgan Fuller. Bless his sweetheart, he loved boiled peanuts. He got some that was bad and he said, whoo, preacher, his higher lip, he couldn't talk plain. Preacher, these things taste bad. He said, but I ate them anyhow. I said, Morgan, don't eat them if you don't like them. See, Peter won't, he wasn't concerned. See, he's missing what God said. He's more concerned about being in the spotlight on earth. He's missing God. Hey, Peter, if you really want to know who's the greatest, just look into the eyes of the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll find out who is the greatest. He is the greatest. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, the psalmist said. There's none greater. Simon missed that. But the Lord was patient with him, and boy, aren't we glad that the Lord is patient with us. We find that the Lord said to him, Peter, what I do thou knowest not, but thou shalt know hereafter. He said, you'll know in a little while. Now look with me in verse number 14. Jesus said, if I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. Now, if our Lord was willing to humble himself and wash the disciples' feet, who are we that we wouldn't want to do that? I've been in some foot washings. Nothing wrong with it if that's what they want to do. Now, it's not one of the commands of the Bible, I believe, as far as what two commands our Lord left us and our church is that we baptize, baptism, and the Lord's Supper. And he said, this do in remembrance of me. We do these things. But if a church wants to practice foot washing, there's not a thing wrong with it. If that's what they want to do, so be it. And yet we find that Peter was missing, but God's trying to show him, God's trying to teach him humility. And do you know one of the hardest things to do this day and time? Is to take an old sinner that's lost and without God. He knows he's lost. He knows he needs to be saved. But you cannot hardly convince him that he needs to bow before God, humble himself before God, and ask God to save him. Why, they'll start spouting out, I'm as good as my neighbor. I'm as good as the preacher at that church. I'm as good as so-and-so at that church. Well, we're missing the mark. The Bible said God resisteth the proud. We need to humble ourselves. And so he begins to show Peter what he needs to do. He said in verse 15, he said, "For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you." Pride. Step on the church lot and see a beer can where somebody unfortunately last Saturday night just dropped it out there. I'm not picking that up. That ain't my job. Says who? Man, this is God's house. We all want to take care. If I see one, I'm going to pick it up. I told you about that time in Georgia, I was going to pick up a bunch of cans and sell them so I could buy me a used camper top from a pickup truck. And we happened to have a guy painting something. Or anyway, I met this guy, and he said, "You want some cans?" I said, "Boy, yeah." Well, I didn't think to stop and ask myself or ask him, "What kind of cans have you got?" He brought over a big old truckload of beer cans. I told him, I said, "Just empty them in my backyard if I'm not here," and he did. Can you imagine what the neighbors thought? Can you imagine what people thought when they rode by the parsonage of Cleveland Heights Baptist Church and there's a stack of beer cans that high up there? Well, I got me some black garbage can bags, those kind you can't see through. Son, I bagged them up quick, but I did go sell them. And I told that guy that was buying them, I said, "Now, somebody else brought these to me, and I'm just selling them." He said, "Sure." See, pride. I didn't drink them. I didn't have nothing to do with them, but it's just by what people see sometimes. And we find that the Lord said, "Peter, I'm leaving you an example now. Do this." And there's none greater an example, not only in the idea of teaching humility, but do you know there's nobody's ever loved anybody any more than Jesus has loved us? Amen. Brother Randy quoted John 3:16 Sunday school this morning, "For God so loved the world." And you've heard me say many a time, you can take that word "world" out there and put your name in it, put your name there, "For God so loved Tommy, for God so loved Bird, for God so loved Jerry Nation." I mean, listen, God loved the whole world. "For God so loved the world that he gave." He didn't force him. He willingly gave him. And boy, what a God. And so, Peter, you're missing the lesson when you're not finding what God wants you to see. He went on in verse number 17. He said, "If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them," or if ye do them. You know, I find that the problem in my life, and most every Christian has the problem in their life the same way. It's not what we don't know that bothers us. It's what we do know that bothers us. I'm going to be honest, there's some things in this Bible this morning that I don't understand all of it. But that doesn't bother me. It's what I do know. And Jesus said, if ye know these things, happy are ye if you do them. And what we as Christians need to learn to do is do what we know that needs to be done. What we know is right. What it takes to please God. What it takes to serve God. What it takes to be the kind of Christian God would have us to be. These are the things that will make a Christian happy. One of the most miserablest persons you'll ever see in your life is that Christian man, that Christian woman, that Christian boy or girl that is backslid on God. They come to church and they're not happy. They go to the world, they're not happy. I'm saying we just need to learn to give all to Jesus and do what He says do. And do you know what you'll find yourself being? A happy Christian. Psalm 1, Brother Shane mentioned this this morning, or Brother Andy, one of them. But anyway, Psalm, blessed, that word blessed means happy. And you know you cannot be any more happier than knowing you're in the will of God, doing what God wants you to do. That doesn't mean, well, if God called me to preach, I'm going to be a happy Christian. No, God doesn't call everybody to be a pastor or a preacher, evangelist, missionary. But just walking daily in the Word and in the will of God will make you a happy Christian. And so Peter recognized this. The Lord shows him this. And finally, the lesson was finally realized by old Peter. Look with me in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 5. Listen to what our dear brother says here. Now, we get on to him all the time, but listen, he was just an old sinner saved by grace like we are. And he needed to get things right with the Lord and serve Him. But 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5. The Bible said, likewise ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Peter finally realized that, and he became one of the greatest leaders that he had ever had, God ever had. James saw that in James 3:1, where he said, be not many masters. There's only one master, and that's Jesus. John saw this in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 7. He said, let us love one another. Boy, I'm telling you what, I'm just going to be honest with you. You're going to have to humble yourself to love old Preacher Carlisle. I'm an old sinner saved by grace. I'm not everything I ought to be. But as the old preacher said one day, thank God I'm not what I used to be. Hey, listen, yes, I have my imperfections. Yes, I have my shortcomings. Yes, I have my faults. And so do you. But you know what? John said, hey, humble yourself. Love. Russell said he was at the gym working out the other day, and a guy was in there, and he was talking to some people. They were discussing the devil and God, and Russell said, I couldn't help but to hear what they were saying. And he said, the boy finally said, well, I don't believe there's a devil. And Russell had to open his mouth and say so. Russell said, I went back on him. And he said, no sooner than I'd said what I said, he said, the Holy Ghost of God said, now what attitude did you just use in talking to that boy? And so Russell went back to that boy and said, sir, I want to tell you something. I want to apologize to you. He said, what I said was right, but I said it in the wrong, with the wrong attitude. He said, I do not want to be the one that will cause you to die and go to hell. He said, but I'm telling you, there is a devil. And he went on. Last night, yesterday at the reunion, Janice came up to me and she said, brother, I want you to help me. I said, all right, if I can. She said, my preacher got up in the pulpit the other day and said, if I come to the restaurant you're at and you have a beer on your table, he said, don't hide it because the Bible doesn't say anything bad about drinking. I said to Janice, I said, where has he been? Has he not read his Bible? And I gave her 10 or 15 verses right quick that talked about wine and drinking and how it's wrong and don't put liquor to your neighbor's lip and wine is a mocker, as Solomon said. Strong drink is raging. Whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. She said, when you go home, you write all them down and text them to me. I said, I will. I said, now, Janice, you show that preacher these things, and if he still feels that same way, I'd pack my bags, I'd knock the dust off my feet, and go find me a church that believes the Bible, the Word of God. Hey, it's all what Jesus is. And we got to learn these things. Peter learned it. John learned it. Hey, James learned it. And finally, the Lord said to Peter, he said, thou shalt know these things hereafter. Brother Shane brought this out this morning a little bit in the lesson. But I'll tell you, listen, today we know where we're going. We know what path we're on. See, the thing that God is able to do that we're not able to do, He knows the future. He knows what's going to happen down the road tomorrow. He knows what's going to happen 3 weeks from now. He knows what's going to happen a year from now. And you know what our Lord has given you and I? In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, we need to learn to have faith in God. The Bible said the just shall live by faith. Hebrews, therefore, he said, it is impossible. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Impossible. So we need faith. And so God's trying to teach Peter a few little lessons here on humility. He said, if you'll learn these things, happy are you if you do, Peter. And I wonder if we are happy Christians this morning. Are we really doing what God wants us to do? Or are we just going through the motions? Or are we just kind of here and there? And, well, if I get to go to church, I go. If I don't, I won't. That's not the way it ought to be. Jesus said, happy if you do. And it's not just going to church. It's having our daily time with the Lord in the Scriptures. It's having our prayer time. It's having our time to tell people, other people about Jesus. I mean, there's more to it than just one or two things. I don't have time to draw a list or write down a list. But there's a whole lot God wants us to do. And we know what God wants us to do. And we, like Peter, just need to make up our mind we're going to do what God said and not do it our way. Peter said at one point in time, he said, I'll never deny thee. And you know what he did? He denied the Lord and cursed and denied that he ever knew him. But boy, I'm glad we serve a forgiving God. God didn't cast him out. God didn't run him away. God didn't tell him he couldn't use him at all. God forgave him. He got right with the Father, and God used him in a great way. And I believe old Peter spent the rest of his days just serving Jesus and was happy doing it. And my encouragement to us this morning is, let's make sure we're saved. Let's make sure we know the Lord. Let's make sure we're in the will of God. Let's make sure we're doing what we do according to the Word of God. And if we do this, you'll be a happy Christian. Let's pray. Father, God, we do love you. Thank you for loving us. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to, Lord, to humble ourselves before you and help us to see, God, it's not the weight of the world on my shoulders, but it's on the shoulders of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Help us to see, God, it's not my will that's important, but it's your will that's important. God, help us to understand that it's our relationship with thee that'll make a difference in our lives in the days to come. But God, that most important decision that needs to be made today is for that one that's not saved, not sure, don't know. I pray, God, that they would come this morning and receive Christ as their Lord and Savior. God, have your way, Lord, in this invitation time. And Father, we'll be careful to praise you and thank you for what you do. For we pray and ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. What number, Brother Shane?
165.
Let's stand and sing. And if you need to come to this altar and pray, you need to come talk to the Lord, you come. If you need to be saved, come. If you need me to talk with you, just come on. I'll be glad to pray with you, anything you need done. Amen.